This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning to you and welcome in on this Friday to Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. We are headed toward Halloween on Tuesday, big weekend ahead. Anything fun planned for you, Danny?
Little stand-up show, 8 o'clock at the Mason Inn in my hood, Glover Park. It's a Cap City Showcase show. So it's a musical act and then a stand-up act, which is myself. We'll be in costume for that show. That's always a lot of fun.
You'll be in costume?
Yeah, I'm wearing my Jedi robes on stage.
No, you're not.
That's my move. That's what I do.
That is a nerdy bit.
It is. Wow. It's easy to do that instead of, like, if I'm in makeup and, like, look like a zombie or something, you get distracted. This is just me except with some Obi-Wan Kenobi robes on.
So will you... Oh, man. Will you be in, like, jeans and a long-sleeve shirt, and then you'll have the robe on over it?
Yeah,
or is there more to it than that?
No, I'm not going commando underneath there or something. You just put your normal clothes on. And just,
do you have a lightsaber?
Yeah, but that's not coming on stage. I mean, that's cumbersome because it's not a fully functioning lightsaber, obviously, with a kyber crystal.
So it's just the robe and nothing else?
Yeah, it's just robe, and there's, like, a belt that goes with it. It just looks like Obi-Wan's robes.
You were supposed to send me a picture of that before. Will you do that tonight? Will you tweet out a picture of you on stage in it?
I have to have someone get me a picture of that, but
yeah.
I'm sure my buddy Christian Hunt will take a picture of that.
Okay, very good.
So that's this Saturday. Then, of course, I got the big show in Thommy's Hood, the Gaithersburg Arts Bar, November the 4th, baby. That's going to be fun. That's a blast.
That's going to be a good time. Last night was a good time for the Ravens, not the Dolphins. Thursday night football. I predicted a Miami win last night. I was incorrect. Let's scrap that segment of the podcast.
Yeah.
Remember when I said into this microphone that there wouldn't be a huge drop-off from Jay Cutler to Matt Moore? Two pick sixes, a 40-0 loss. That was one of the worst quarterback performances we've seen in a while. But the story from this game was not that the Ravens led 20-0 at the half or 40-0 when the game was over, or even some of the dirty plays that took place, like a Dolphin poking a Raven in the eye or Ndamukong Suh grabbing Ryan Mallett around the neck.
I'm sure Ndamukong Suh shouldn't be tossed out of games routinely. What are you doing, guy?
Just a goose.
What are you doing?
He cannot stop doing things after the whistle that he shouldn't be doing or doing anything dirty on a football field.
Choke slamming people. He's punching huevos. That guy stinks.
Story of the game, though, was second quarter of play. Joe Flacco scrambling to his right, slides late. Kiko Alonso barreling down toward him, laid him out with a hit, arm and shoulder up around the helmet of Joe Flacco. Just blew him up at the head. Helmet comes off, and I saw reports that the helmet actually broke. He's bleeding from the head as he was clearly dazed and concussed.
Scary, man.
It was actually a frightening scene. Here is how it sounded last night, Thursday night football on CBS.
We're going to go with five wides, including Escobar.
Who's going to come in motion right here at the bottom of your screen?
Former Cowboy tight end just signed a couple of days ago. Flacco rolling and running. And he's going to have to... The ball comes out. Helmet's off. Flags are down. It was Kiko Alonso who delivered the blow. Flacco's on his feet.
And Harbaugh's yelling at Alonso right now. He's in Alonso's face. Harbaugh is livid. You just lost your quarterback for the game, and Harbaugh knows that. This is a... Watch this. Joe with a good run. Slides.
Oh. Bends his head. Helmet comes jarringly off.
And it's definitely a penalty as the quarterback gives himself up and he leans that arm in there. That's not okay. Well, look, he knows he's going down. And at the end right there, he leans it down. Alonso, way too aggressive. Quarterback's giving himself up. You need to at least show restraint at the end of that. And I think probably ends the night. Look at those. Harbaugh knows what just happened.
It did end the night of Joe Flacco. It may have ended more than that. A couple weeks of play, perhaps. I hope not, but I've been around teams. Reed Dowdy had a really serious concussion at one point. Martrell Spate was out for the year with a concussion at one point. where they can linger for an extended period of time. Think about hockey.
Sure.
Upper body injury. Brett Connolly of the Capitals left last night after taking a blow to the head. Sometimes those linger for weeks on end. First and foremost, I hope Joe Flacco feels okay this morning.
That, absolutely. I echo that. The how scary that was. Usually when a guy gets hit and his helmet's still on, there's still kind of that, there's still a mask, if that makes any sense.
We don't see how dead to the world those guys look.
That because of the way the helmet flew off, and you could see even on the normal view before they zoomed in, his eyes, they're big and gaping and empty. There's nothing going on right there.
There's like no thought in his head at that moment.
And the thing that will chill me, that I will not be able to unsee, it, live in that moment where I yelled at, oh my God, woke up my son, by the way. When he raised his hand up basically to say like, something's wrong. You know what I'm talking
right.
about? Like, kind of this one finger in the air.
Pointer finger in the air. It was as if you're pointing at someone, but it was kind of clenched in toward his body like he's given a number one.
And he's trying to indicate, so I need help. Something isn't correct because he knew. He knew it was bad, and you're so dazed and out of it. The helmet flying off the way, the chin strap lying on the field. So violent, so scary, man.
This is the hit in football that they are trying to alleviate from the game. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
There is a debate that has been raged since this happened last night, though, as to whether or not Kiko Alonso was all that in the wrong. It's a very fast game. Flacco slid fairly late as Alonso was approaching him. I tweeted out that I thought Kiko Alonso should have been ejected last night. More people than not responded to me to call me names and tell me I'm an idiot and that I've never seen football and don't know how it works. And that you can't just stop when you're about to hit someone. So a couple of thoughts. First, do you remember the audio we played on the show last week when Kirk Cousins was being scalded by Trent Williams for not getting down because he has a $200 million arm? And Trent Williams said, hey, man, you got to slide. And Kirk Cousins said to him, sometimes when you slide, guys take shots anyway, and it puts you in a really vulnerable position.
Absolutely. I think Danny White.
That was the first thing I thought about last night. That's the vulnerable position. That's what happens sometimes when you slide and the guy takes a shot anyway. I think that that was an ejectionable hit. If they now want to eject players for vicious blows to the head, they didn't do it with Danny Trevathan on national television several weeks ago. Remember when we came in and talked about that hit the next morning?
Right.
They did not do it last night with Kiko Alonso, but they could have and they should have. And the question now becomes, should he be suspended for that hit? Want to take your guys' calls at 800-636-1067 now. We'll open up the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines. Because this is, while divisive, an easy enough topic because it's binary and there are two sides. 800-636-1067. The first side, which I do not belong to, is that Joe Flacco slid so late and gave himself up so late that Alonso had no choice but to dive and hit him. I think you can slow it down enough and freeze it at the point where Flacco is clearly going into a baseball slide.
Mm-hmm.
And Alonso is just now starting to lower himself for the boom. But even if he'd already lowered himself and you say he can't stop there, it's just an awkward thing. He's going to fall to the ground, maybe hurt himself. He does not need to extend his arm and shoulder toward the head of Joe Flacco. But the one side is Alonso is playing football. This game is violent. If you want football, hits like this are going to happen. Stop being a childish clown and let us play this tough man's game, mm-hmm. right? That's side number one. The tough guy side, I would say. Side number two, Danny, is, oh my gosh, that can't happen. We have to get hits like that out of the game. He should have been ejected, and there needs to be a conversation about a suspension, which is the side that I am on, for the record. I would not suspend him for more than one game, though. I would not do that. But I do think that he should have been ejected last night. 800-636-1067 is the number.
If you've ever listened to this show, you know why I almost always default on these things. I think it's way easier said when we have the benefit of replay and slowing things down, etc. This is a third down scramble. The collision takes place right at the first down marker. Think about the Redskins game this past week. Remember on the third down play where Carson Wentz goes read option? And fools everybody and keeps it. It looks like he's about to tippy-toe and slide or get out of the way, and he cuts back and gains another 10 yards. So if somebody pulls up and doesn't hit him, there's a chance he cuts by you, and you're down close to the end zone. What I would challenge anybody that thinks it's that easy just to stop what you're doing, because both these guys are at a full sprint. sprint towards something, and then with one stride left, because that's what it was one more step after the slide begins that Alonzo then, you know, is already kind of in motion and committed.
Right.
Have somebody do it a couple different times. And what a green sign means keep going. A red sign means you have to pull up and stop and avoid everything. And within one stride, I challenge you to adjust accordingly based on what a guy's doing body language-wise. It's really hard. This is the unfortunate part about this game, and it stinks. We're working back from a gruesome injury. Is it a penalty? Yes. It's something that you have to penalize.
Right.
I could even live with throwing Alonzo out of the game in that moment. I think I probably would have. It's unfortunate because a guy's hurt that bad and you're trying to legislate this out.
That's what I go harder for, by the way. The ejection to me absolutely should have happened. A suspension I'm not adamant about, but if I was in control, I would probably give him one game.
So, I can live with him getting ejected from that game. I think it would be one of those, man, that's tough. It's a bad break. I know you weren't trying to kill the guy. You weren't trying to blow him up, but there you have it. I'm definitely not suspending him, though. No.
It's, what about this? Because I agree with everything you said about how difficult it is to stop. And I'm not saying that Alonzo shouldn't have made any contact. Just like I said, though, and I think we disagreed on Trevathan's hit as well, if you remember, when I was anti the Trevathan hit and you weren't as much so. He speared him helmet first and ended up going helmet to helmet. And your point is, well, you got a moving target. And my point is you should never spear anyone with your helmet without putting your arms out. That's not how you tackle anyway. You're doing that to break his ribs or whatever else you were trying to do with your helmet.
Right.
Crown of your helmet. I think in this case, instead of it being a speared helmet that was odd, he still puts his arm and shoulder out to the helmet. That's the whole thing that to me is illegal. It's the blow to the head that we're trying to get rid of.
That's right.
And he targets the head with his arm and shoulder.
If when you make contact with somebody, as you go through them, it's pretty unnatural just to keep your arm tucked. That probably wouldn't happen. You know what I mean? As you're kind of leaning into somebody to try to stop their progress in their tracks. So if you want a more textbook tackle, okay, I think you're entitled to wanting that. That's why I say it's a penalty. But the idea, again, that is the idea that Alonzo was really trying to hurt somebody?
No, the idea is he took a shot at Joe Flacco's head in that moment. I don't think if he could pause the world in a fast game, hey, do I want to take a blow to his head? No, but I don't care if there's malice or not. You can't hit someone in the head as violently as he did.
Right, that's why it's a penalty.
And that's why it's a penalty and an ejection and potentially a suspension. Again, if he doesn't get suspended, I'm not going to be upset over that.
Right.
By any means. I personally would probably throw a game at him because just like the Trevathan hit, I think it sends a pretty good message. And I think it is a step in the right direction to cleaning up some of the most violent hits in the game. Let's open up the phones and take calls next. 800-636-1067. Danny and I coming down on different sides of this. He's more pro-Alonzo. I am of the belief that what he did was, while not dirty, excessively violent, and we don't need it. Grant and Danny, you're going to hear from Kiko Alonzo from the locker room last night after the game.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.